everyone. We are the last installment of Hilchos Ribbis. We're going to go through the understanding of a Heter Iska. The next couple of weeks we'll be learning Purim in preparation for Purim, and then we'll move on to some inyan related to Pesach. So let's understand Heter Iska. It's a very, not that complicated, but it's involved Choshen Mishpat in Yanim. We're going to be very basic and simple. There are many types of variations in Heter Iska, but we're going to take it through one by one. And these halachas of Heter Iska, though it sounds like a really circumventing the halacha, it is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It is based on Gemaras. It's based on Poskim. And it's not really circumventing Ribbis. It's really re-understanding how a partnership is. So we begin with number one, the Bris Yehuda. The Bris Yehuda is very, very important, as I've been telling you, Rav Yaakov Blau. In fact, when in the Heter Iska document that's found in Rav Reisman, he incorporates in the actual text the Bris Yehuda, we follow the halachas of Bris Yehuda, his version of the Heter Iska. So it's very, very important, the Bris Yehuda, this sefer, as I've been mentioning. So look at number one, he writes, Kvar hevaiti la'el, I brought earlier in Perek Lamed Hey, medivrei Chavetz Chaim, she'ein l'shkoach, a person should not forget, she'ikr mitzvahs gemilus chasadim, she'nitztaveinu ba, hi halvas chinam, beli shum tenai revach. The ultimate chesed, the ultimate tzedakah is to give, to lend money without there being any ribbis attached. That's the ultimate tzedakah, lending money. Once you add an interest on that loan, that's no longer considered the gemilus chasadim. It's a nice thing, but that's not the tzedakah we speak of. A straight loan is the best form of tzedakah. Don't forget that. Now, not everybody is capable of doing that. Not everybody is so trustworthy. But in the end of the day, that's the best thing to always keep in mind. That being said, we will be discussing those who do lend money with ribbis. So Rav Moshe writes in a very important tshuva, number two, in Yerdei Achelik Beis, Simen Samech Beis, the halachas of a mortgage. How do you go about doing a mortgage if you are lending, if you're borrowing money from a Jewish bank? So how do you get around that problem? You're going to be paying them back interest, principal and interest. So he writes, reading just the bold, mortgage, hanag bebatim. So he says, Inyan mortgage, she'osin b'medina seinu, that we do nowadays, hu halvat, it's a loan. V'yesh baze iser ribis, paying interest is a problem. V'yesh ba shnei drachim, and there are two ways to go about doing this. And he writes, Behet iska is the first approach how to get around mortgage problems. V'sheyodu shnei atzadim inin ha'iska, both sides need to know what's going on. They have to understand what Behet iska. It's not enough for the mortgage broker to just sign this and here's a dollar bill. You need to know what's going on. Below rak ba mira uksiva ba alma, just saying this is the Heter Iska and this is the writing. That's not enough. Sheze ainu lachush v'segula hamolam. It's not like magic that just works. Ella shehu shutvis ba esakim. It's partnership. So if you're going to be involved in a partnership, you have to understand what's going on. What you're investing money into, what you're borrowing money from, you have to understand what's going on. It's not sufficient simply to write an agreement that they said this is Heter Iska. It doesn't circumvent ribbis. It's actually a partnership that you have to understand, both parties need to understand. Now, Bris Yehuda talks about a case, what if you don't understand? Let's say you sign a document, you already bought a house, and you signed this Heter Iska, and you didn't know what you were writing, you didn't understand, is that going to work now? Do you have to now go undo the loan, or maybe write a Heter Iska retroactively? So the Bris Yehuda writes in number three, the underline, he quotes from the Das HaShlah, Nir she'af b'di'eved eino mo'el Heter Iska im einam yodim umevinin einin ha-Heter Iska. If any of you signed a document that you were unaware of, they said, here's Heter Iska, take a dollar. He said, okay, that's what the rabbis say, I'll sign this document. That does not work b'di'eved according to the Shla. Ella, the Bris Yehuda says, midivrei kama achronim, mashma she'ein hayadiyah ma'akevis b'di'eved. Many say that it's not going to be ma'akev, it's a good Heter Iska, so no one get excited here. But he concludes with the Chavetz Chaim at the end here, she'meharoi she'amisasek b'inyani iska, yilmod halachas eila b'poskim. So anybody here who's involved in business loans, whatever type of partnership, just like you would try to understand anything you would be investing into, you would have to understand what a Heter Iska means. Okay, so I think we now know that you have to understand what a Heter Iska is. So let's understand it. What is a Heter Iska? So it's based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia. We're not going to read the Gemara, but the Gemara is talking about just a regular partnership, nothing to do with a loan. What does a partnership mean in general? And based on what a partnership, that model of an Iska, which is a partnership, based on what that means, they try to plug that in into when making a loan and borrowing money with interest. How do you transform that into an Iska? How do you transform that into a partnership? So Shulchan Aruch number 4, which is in Hilchas Rivas, talks about a general partnership. What does a partnership mean? So he says in the number 4, Hanosein Maos Lechavero. A guy invests money. We're going to call him the investor. A guy invests money betoras iskin, a business, and he trusts a guy. And the guy who has the money now is called the managing partner. So let's say I lend you, I'm the investor. Unlikely that will ever be the case. But let's say I'm the investor. So I'm investing you guys' money, okay? So I got money, I'm the investor, and you guys are now the managing partner with my money. So I'm the nosein maos, I'm the investor. Now, chatzi achrayos al hanosein. Half of the liability is on me, I'm investing my money. V'chatzi al hamakabel, now you who receive the money, the managing partner, that would be usher. It's usher to do a straight deal like that. Why? Because iska is palga malva palga pikadum. The way the partnership is set up in the Gemara is when I give you, let's say, $100,000. So the way the Gemara says the partnership is, $50,000 is a pikadum. It's my money. You just take my money and you're going to return the money. You're going to invest my money for me, but it's mine, and you return it back to me. That's what a pikadon is. You're watching my money and you're investing my money, but it comes back, that's a pikadon, and you're a shomer. You're a shomer who's trying to use my money to make revenue. The other half of the loan is viewed as a loan, where I'm lending it to you for you to use for yourself, and any revenue, you keep the revenue. You bring that, you return the principal back to me because you loan money, you borrow money from me, but the revenue from that 50% goes to you. So again, $100,000 is the starting investment. $50,000 is mine as a pikadon, and you return the $50,000 plus the $2,000 increase on that half, so I get $52,000 back from that half. The other $50,000 I lent you, so you invested in the same business, that makes $2,000 on its own, so you keep the $2,000. But you have to pay me back the $50,000 that I lent you. So half it is a pikadon, which is all mine, plus the revenue. Half is a loan, which is yours to borrow, where you keep the revenue, but then you owe me back money as a loan. That's the setup. That's how it's understood, this type of partnership. Okay. Now, the challenge is, since part of it is a loan, so you can't pay me any interest. When you pay me back the money, you cannot do anything in excess to that. So what does interest mean? Well, interest can mean you pay me a 4% interest. Interest could also mean that you do something extra. You do something above and beyond. So let's say you gave me a gift back. That's also called interest. So let's say you worked for me and I didn't pay you. That's also interest. So now you are taking my $50,000. That was a pikadon. You are taking that money and you're investing it for me. You're doing work for me. You're my worker now. And if I don't pay you for that work, so now that's you returning money to me plus the additional work you did for me. That's a type of interest. So in this partnership, if I don't pay you for your work, that's you returning ribis to me. You're paying interest. So I need to pay for your work that you did with the money that I invested with you. Is that clear, that part? For the question? Hisaya? Avi, you had a question?
Are we saying that that's the general parameter of what a partnership should look like, or is this a specific case in the Gemara?
This is a specific case in the Gemara. This is a partnership that exists in the Gemara, and we're going to use this as a model how to structure our cases of loaning. But this is how that was the case of the Gemara here. So again, so anything you do when you return a loan, anything in excess you're doing, you're giving back to me, you're working for me, and I'm not paying you for that job, that's going to be considered ribis on top of that. That's a challenge here.
You mentioned mortgages before. The same thing would hold true if you had a bank account in a bank owned by a Jew.
We spoke about that. That was last week. Yeah, okay. So now, in addition to that as well, another type of ribis would be, let's say we split 50-50. Right? I gave you the money, 50% is a loan, 50% is a pikadon. Now, anytime there's going to be some imbalance here, that's going to be ribis. If you're paying me more money, or let's say you're taking more liability. So let's say it really should be 50-50. I take, if the business doesn't go well, so I take a 50% loss and you take a 50% loss. But let's say we adjust the loss where you as the managing partner are going to take 60% of that loss and I'm only taking 40% of that loss. That's also going to be viewed as an interest because now you're paying me more. You're paying me for that halva, that loan that you took. What's your ribis? By you taking a potential 20% extra loss, that's a type of ribis. So whenever things are not completely equal, it's going to be in my favor as the investor, and your disadvantage, that's considered ribis. So in this type of partnership, I need to pay for his work that he's doing for my money, and they also make sure the losses are going to be equally shared. That's what we're trying to be accomplished here. Is that clear? Yeah, we're good? Any questions before we go ahead?
Yeah.
This is the original structure as it appears in the Gemara and how Shulchan Aruch.
The 60-40 that you just mentioned.
Oh, that was just an example I gave. But the idea is it's supposed to be everything, the ideal partnership should be 50-50. 50% of the money is going to be pikadon, 50% will be a hava. You have to split the losses equally, and you have to split the revenue equally. That's how it should ideally be. Ah, but aren't you working for me also? You're running around investing my money and I'm doing nothing. I just gave you the money. So how do you deal with that extra work you're doing for me? So that's a halacha. We'll see that I need to pay you. That's where that dollar bill comes from. I need to pay you for your work. We'll see how that comes into play. But that's the structure that we're trying to understand. Everything has to be 50%. Now, it really doesn't have to be 50-50. Look at the shach in number 5. The shach writes in number 5, V'chokin ha-revach v'hefzed be'eze inyan shi'yirtzu v'eino choshishin mishum ribis. The Gemara is a case of palga-palga, 50-50. But it doesn't have to be 50-50. We could do 80-20, 90-10, 70-30, any division you want it to be, but it has to be equal. Meaning, if you all have 60, I have 40, then you have to have the 60% revenue and 60% loss. Whatever division has to be equal, and you're taking both the potential loss and potential revenue, 60 the whole way through, and I'm taking 40 the whole way through. Or it could be 70 in my favor and 30 in your favor, but it has to be equal both in the loss and potential gains, has to be equal on both ends. That's how the partnership. Just 50-50 was the Gemara's example, but you could draw that line wherever you want. Okay. So now the problem is, so assuming everything's equal both in the losses and in the gains, that let's say I'll do the 60-40 case, where I, as the investor, I'm taking 60% of the potential gains or 60% of the potential loss, and you're going to take 40% as the managing partner of the gains and 40% of the loss. So that's a very nice and fair partnership. So, but what about all the work that you're doing? You're the one running around and hustling. You're going from place to place, selling the product. I'm doing nothing. But you're making money for me. So that loan that I gave you that you owe me back, you're paying ribbis on all that extra work you're doing on behalf of me. So how do we deal with that extra work? So that's where that dollar bill comes in. So look what the Shulchan Aruch writes in number 6. He writes in the bold, Aval im pasak imo betchilas ha'esek schar tirchu. If we make a decision at the creation of this partnership to pay you some money for your work, schar tirchu, bedavar you do in some known price, afilu bedinar mutter. Even if it's only a dinar, just a small amount of money, that's enough. We didn't have to. There's no. We have to go for the going rate of the minimum wage to pay for the guy's hour. As long as it's even a dinar, a small amount of money, a few dollars, that's enough. That's going to cover all the extra work that you'll be doing for me as the managing partner. So we have to know what does a dinar mean. So firstly, the Shulchan Aruch mentions a dinar, but the Prisha writes it could be even a filo papachos medinar. It was lav dafka. It could be any amount of money. So it's very, very important to understand what does a dinar mean. Does Shulchan Aruch, who writes a dinar, so what is a dinar? What's the value you have to pay? What's the minimum wage you would have to pay the managing partner? So look at Rav Yisrael Reisman writes in number 8. He says, a dinar is equivalent to 4.8 grams of silver. Just to be simple, 5 grams of silver. And when the price of silver is at $7 an ounce, so then the value of a 5 gram would be $1.08. Okay. Now the price of silver is generally well below this level, so the $1 payment therefore satisfies both opinions. According to his understanding when he wrote the Sefer, so $1, 5 grams of silver, a dinar, let's say dinar is 5 grams of silver, and 5 grams of silver equals around $1, and it's usually less than this anyways, so the $1 payment that you're going to give is going to satisfy both opinions that it is, $1 is worth a dinar. Shulchan Aruch says you have to pay at least a dinar to the managing partner, a dollar is going to cover that cost. So the problem is, I said, wait a second, when was this written? If silver seems probably more expensive now, I don't know much about commodities, but it seemed like that was pretty low for the price of silver. So I did a quick Google, I don't know what the website I came across, I'm guessing it was somewhat accurate. So they have the price of silver per ounce, per grams. So if you look at the second line here, silver price per gram, so it's 58 cents, so let's be easy, 60 cents. So we're looking for 5 grams. So 60 cents per gram, that's times 5, is going to be around $3. So 5 grams of silver is going to be $3. Sounds like a dollar won't be sufficient anymore to pay for that minimum fee. You'd have to pay $3 or so to cover that amount. So I don't know if Rabbi Reisman has updated this or not, but it seems I'm not going to be motzi laz on all the other heter iskers that people were involved with, even myself included. When I took out my mortgage, I only accepted a dollar. But it seems that you could rely on the prisha that even if it's less than a dinar, a dollar which is less than a dinar nowadays, that would be sufficient as well. El chawar could even be a penny. Once you go less than a dinar, there is really no there's no value. A pruta is around, I would say this in the shir, it's around a penny or 2 pennies. Is the value of a pruta. It seems according to this, the prisha, even a penny should be sufficient. But the custom has been to give a dollar. The one who's lending the money gives a dollar to you for all the work you're going to be doing with this investment that the bank is giving you. So if you are an investor, so you have to pay a dollar to the managing partner for the schar tircha in order to have this create this partnership.
So if you're using a mortgage broker,
yeah.
And he's Jewish, and he doesn't do that.
No, we spoke about that last week as well. I mean, if it's a Jewish bank, you're saying?
No, Jewish.
If it's a non-Jewish bank, there's no issur at all. Even though he's a Jewish.
You don't know whether it's a Jewish bank or not. But
you should do research then.
You're using a Jewish mortgage broker.
So it doesn't make a difference for the brokers. It has to make a difference of who the Jewish bank is. If it's a Jewish bank, where you have to do a heter isker, and he does not present it to you, so then he would be, the shach says, anybody who's involved in such a deal is involved, does get an isser. So certainly the Lova gets an Isser, the Malva gets an Isser, and even the mortgage broker would get an Isser as well. Of Lifnei Iver, the Shach said. Okay, so this is the partnership that we're dealing with right now. Okay, 50-50, split the costs, split the loss, split the gains, and you need to pay for that dollar. Now, the Shach says there is another way to pay for that money. It doesn't have to only be with a dollar bill. If you adjust the rate, so let's say it's a 50-50 partnership. That's how we set it up. But let's say I give him an increase of the 55 to 45. I guess you get 55% of the gains and even the losses. That's another way of giving him some payment for his schar. Meaning it doesn't have to only be the dollar bill. You could also change the percentages to his advantage. That's going to be viewed as his schar tircha by giving him 55% and I'll only take 45%. That could be viewed as his schar tircha as well. That's brought down by the shach. It's not typically used, but the Bris Yehuda says he's not sure why it's not used, but it certainly would suffice to pay for the schar tircha.
Sorry. If the money is given to a partnership, going backwards a little bit, as 100% of just, you know, go and make some money without a loan component, is that a problem? In other words, we set this up where there's a 50%, I'm calling it equity, and then you have 50% as a loan. Is that where the issue is? Because it's 50% of a loan?
Because it's a loan. The loan is the problem. Now, if you give them $100,000...
investment into whatever, that's just not a problem without any loan.
Yeah, without a loan. This is the money, I want you invested, and then we'll split some profits, but you don't owe me the $100,000 back, let's say. You just owe me some of the revenue. That's not considered a loan. That's a... That's nothing. It's just you're giving him money, and you want...
Even if it has, because I deal with stuff all the time, even if you have stuff that has defined returns to it, let's say you have something that's sitting in money, it's invested in a corporation that does a multitude of things, and let's say it makes a certain percentage a year, and you give based on that to the investors, is that not considered a loan? Or is that considered a loan?
Can you pull your money out of that whenever you want?
No.
So that money, you give it away to them, it's done, that money's lost forever, and you're hoping the return you're going
to
make,
but they expect the money back.
Yeah.
Right?
Eventually, you get money back. You make the money back. But that's not a loan. They don't owe you money back. You expect there to be a return, and the return is going
to
cover your costs and more.
There's an expected life period for funds. But if it exceeds or goes below, then we...
That doesn't seem like, to me, it doesn't seem like a loan. I can't pass in. These are very complicated. But from my understanding, it doesn't sound like a loan to me. But
in that case, I think the general partner or the manager is clipping some percentage of the revenue. So
that's his fee that he's collecting.
Well, exactly. So that alone, you're actually, the investor is giving him $100, and if they make $10 more, the general partner is giving back $108, and he's keeping $20.
Right.
Is that like a loan, because he could use the money to make it $20, or it's not?
No, that's just a fee that you're paying him, which has been structured as a percentage as opposed to a $20 fee per transaction. Right. So I think that would seem to be all fine. But this doesn't seem like what you're explaining is a loan here. Fine. Now, The challenge of this is, as the investor and as the bank, who would ever want to, you know, invest the money in such a way? I want some guaranteed. I don't want to lose my money here. I don't. If I know I'm going to lose 50-50 here, 50% if there's a loss, I'm not going to want to invest my money in this unless it's such a guaranteed, it's such a great return. I'll be hesitant to lend my money to such a person. So the Taz quotes a Chumas Hadeshin that creates, this sounds like a loophole, but it's brought down in the Poskim, in such a way where the investor will be guaranteed his money back. Is that not fair? Didn't we say when I lend the money, we have to do 50-50 in cost, in losses? So I could create a structure whereby if you lose all the money, you take the full loss. You still owe me the full $100,000. So that's not fair. So look what the Chumash Hadeshin writes. So number 12, the Chumash Hadeshin says, the Taz quotes the Chumash Hadeshin, Kasav limtso heter binosein mos lechaver. He wanted to find a heter for the investors, for the banks, lemachsis schar, to get half of the return, but he also wanted to ensure that he'll get the Karen back. He'll get that $100,000 loan, he'll get that back, plus half of the returns. So Yachal Omar, the following case. He could say, Shehilva Shalove lo yeh neman. I don't trust the neman ala hefsed. He tells me there was a loss. I could say, I don't trust you, there's a loss. Prove to me there's a loss. You owe me money. So the only way I'm going to trust you, and the Chumash Hadeshin says you could put this in the document, Rak al pi edus harav v'ashliach tzibur. Who is a chashe person? V'ashliach tzibur, chaz is a chashe person. So you have the rav of the community, two edos, two edim that I trust. I'll only trust you if they testify that you lost it. And if they don't testify, I don't trust you. That money is lost. You owe me money back. So in that case, he says further, the next line down, v'afagav didashnem shliukein shiayidu. Everyone knows they're not going to testify. The rabbi has no idea what's going on in this business. Neither does the chazan. So still nonetheless, you can make such a stipulation. So they add this a little further and say as follows. The lova says, now you the managing partner. You have my money. I invested money. You say that I'll give you 50%. We'll split the losses 50-50. If the whole business goes bad, we'll split 50-50. And you take upon yourself that you'll prove to me that there's a loss with these chashev edim, which we know that's never going to happen, or you're going to make a shvuah in Bezdin, a serious thing, a veshvuah, and you say if you don't find edim, and if you don't make a shvuah, then you're willing to pay the full money. So if you write that stipulation in the heter iska, that's a way I will be guaranteed my money back, because everybody knows you're not going to find the rabbi to testify, and everybody knows you're not going to take a shvuah in Bezdin, so this way you'll pay me back the money if there is a loss. So if you want to split, bring me the edim, make a shvuah. If you're not willing to make a shvuah or bring edim, so then you owe me the money, you owe me the revenue, because I don't believe you that there is a loss. And this Chumash Hadeshin, one of the later Rishonim, he is brought down as one of the heterim we write in the Het Iska, as I'll show you in a moment, that stipulation can be and is placed in the Het Iska in order to circumvent this problem. Okay.
So it avoids being a loan.
Exactly. In essence, it's
a business deal.
Exactly. We turn this loan now into a business deal. That's what's going on here. It's a business deal. So let's just read this inside now in the Bris Yehuda number 13. Just makes it clear. See, one more time, just to review what's going on here. The Bris Yehuda number 13, the photocopied in Os Gimel, he writes, B'yachas with connection l'haftachas ha-keren. In the guarantee of the principal that I want back as the investor. Yesh b'nuschos, there are different texts. Shtari ha-iska. Shtei gishos ikarios, two important approaches. Ha'achas, one is shebal hamos masim hamisasek, the bal hamos, the investor, the one who owns the money, makes a condition with the misasek, the managing partner. Shelo yehei neman, I don't trust you as the managing partner, lomar, to say shehifsid b'debei hakeren, I don't trust you. When you tell me the business went bad, the whole thing tanked, I don't trust you. Ki'im, unless al pi edim kisherim v'nemanim, as we saw in the Taz, unless you bring proper edim, v'cholzman shalo yivarezo, so long as you don't make this clear, alav l'shalim kol d'mei hakaren, it's your responsibility to pay me back the full amount that I lent you. That's number one. Hashenis, number two, shebal hamaos, the investor, magbil hasamisasek b'tanai hisaskos, he limits the business, v'she'im yavor al tanaim, if you violate any of these stipulations, elu, Mekabalav Hamasasik, the managing partner accepts upon himself Achrayos, the responsibility, Lechol Dmeha Iska, all the money of the business deal, Vyaf Im Yeh Hefsid Alav L'Shalem Kol HaKeren. So this is the way really to circumvent the ribbis problem and the loss. And now this way the banks are willing to give money. The banks are not going to give money to a house, let's say, for a guy taking a mortgage out. If there's a loss, that the bank's going to take 50% of that loss. They're not willing to give a mortgage on that. They want to make sure they're guaranteed their money back. But you have to pay me interest on top of that. How do you get around this problem? This Chumas Hadeshin is the way to get around the problem. So again, I need to take a shvua. If I want to split 50% losses with you, the bank, I need to take a shvua or bring Edom. If I don't do that, I take the full hit. I take 100% of the loss. Okay, so that's basically a hetisk. I'm going to read through now one of the texts here to see how this is mamish exactly. Every line of this text of the hetiska is what we just went through. And then I'll speak just very briefly about other types of hetiskas, about a personal loan, a little bit more about mortgages and real estate, and then a hetiska klali, again, just very, very briefly, because it's a very complicated topic. So let's just read through the text. I should have printed one out for you, but and the language of these lawyers are somewhat challenging. But
In Israeli bank on Jewish bank here, there is a hetiska, but the customer never sees it.
Right, so that's a big shot.
I was wondering how can it work if the customer doesn't sign it.
Right, so that's called a hetiska klali. That not all the banks here have it. They should. The Jewish bank should have it in Eretz Israel, and not all the banks here do. So Het Iska Klali, that's the case what many of the banks in Eretz Yisrael do have, and many of them have it posted on the side here. Here's the Het Iska Klali. But many poskim say it's fine, many poskim say it's not fine. There should really be a individual Het Iska made per each loan. It's not so feasible to do that. The banks are giving loans so often. But they should be made aware of it and not just being broadcasted on the side. There should be some discussion whereby the borrower has to be aware of how this works, like we said in the beginning. But they do have this, and many say this is permitted, though. That's, a general head to Iska Klali.
Just having money on a bank account with some kind of interest.
Correct. We discussed that last week a little bit about leaving money in the bank, in the savings account. That's also a situation where we are the malva,
exactly.
And we're getting paid. So that as well, we discussed last week. There are heterim when it comes to banks and entities, since there's no personal liability on the banks. So there's a heter of Moshe about that. That we discussed last week. So let's go through now with the Het Iska document. Again, I'm sure there are many different versions. The one that appears in Rabbi Reisman's book, he writes, I, the undersigned, have received the sum of X amount of dollars from so-and-so, the investing partner, to be used for business purposes. I obligate myself to utilize these funds in a manner which I believe will generate profits, and any profits realized or losses sustained shall be shared equally between the investing partner and myself. Like we said, has to be shared equally both on the losses and on the gains. Now, any claim of loss, this is the Chumas Hadeshah now, any claim of loss must be verified through the testimony of two qualified witnesses in and under conditions acceptable to an Orthodox Jewish court of law. Now, any claim regarding the amount of profit generated by these funds shall be verified under solemn oath, the Shavua, before and under conditions acceptable to an Orthodox Jewish court of law. Now, it is agreed that if I return the above-mentioned principal to the investing partner, the initial loan he gave me, together with an additional whatever sum that is, an interest rate or a certain fee, as payment for his share of the profits which are generated, then I will not be required to make any further payment, nor will I be required to make an oath. Meaning, I could get out of the oath, I could get out of the shvu, if I pay him back the full principal, that full loan, like I owe the bank, that's my way of getting around the shvu. So that's how they put in that taz, that Chumas Hadeshin, in this statement.
But there's so many problems on that on so many levels when it comes to commercial lending, let's say with prepayment penalties.
Yeah, so I'm not getting involved with the penalties, and there's a whole other discussion about that. I'm not getting involved with that, but that is paying penalties and splitting those costs is a discussion. You are correct.
You know, when you're prepaying your mortgage, you're also bringing down the interest a bit. When it's amortized over 30 years, you end up saving. Let's say you pay your
mortgage
twice a month.
Right.
So you're prepaying it, so you're basically shorting the lender. The amount of interest that they're expecting to make over.
But that's fine. That's fine. You could short the lender. That's okay. The problem is when the borrower is being short-ended, when he's losing, when he's paying interest. Paying less interest, that's fine. Paying more interest, that's where the challenge comes in.
So this agreement turns the loan into a shutfa.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's not circumventing, but changing
the... Exactly. Exactly. Changing the whole thing into a partnership as opposed to a loan. Now look at this next line here. I have received $1 from the investing partner as payment for my services during the term of our partnership. So this is how everything that we just went through is built in to the Hetzer Iskra. There are a few other lines which we one other line I'll show you which I like. This agreement shall follow the guidelines of Hetzer Iskra as explained in Sefer Bris Yehuda. So the way many Hetzer Iskras are is based on this Sefer, Rav Yaakov Blau, the Bris Yehuda. Okay, a few other lines, some lawyer lines, timing, but that's... exactly. So there are a few other types here, Hetzer Iskra Klali, but that's the general understanding of a Hetzer Iskra. So let me just touch upon one other point here about a personal loan. The person needs money to pay for, I don't know, his food, or just he wants to borrow something to pay for a car. Now, there is no business involved there. We've been talking about lending money for business purposes, so that you can transform into a business partnership. If I'm borrowing money just to pay something off, there's no business to invest in. You're not investing into a business. How do you change that into a business deal? So it's you can't.
Mortgage.
It's a problem. What? Exactly. So we'll get to mortgage in just a second. So in terms of personal business deal, so the way they get around this is, if let's say I'm borrowing money from you, you're lending me money, if I have some other businesses that I'm involved with, so we could tag on those businesses, even though you're not investing into those businesses, you're investing into me. And of the things I do is I have these businesses, so we could connect this loan into one of those other businesses and create a partnership through that loss or gain of that other business. So you could really create that partnership. But if I'm a guy who has no businesses and I don't have a business, I'm just a rabbi, so I've got no businesses, so then there's nothing I can borrow money with interest in you. We cannot create that loan. We cannot transform that loan into a business because I don't have any business to deal with. So that's a problem. If a person doesn't have any businesses, Hetzer Iskra is not going to help.
With credit cards.
Credit cards. So let's see. So if a guy takes out money from a credit card, and credit card...
You got to change it.
Right. But that's,
there's no business there.
Yeah, but that's only if the credit card's a Jewish company would there
right.
be of concern.
Right. You have to find out.
If a credit card is a Jewish company and you're borrowing from them, in Echanami, there's no way around that. If a guy doesn't have any business, you cannot create...
Well, let's say he gets points. Every dollar he uses on his credit card. And you pay him back, but then he's getting points back from the credit card company. So he's benefiting...
So you said that's going to, I'm not sure if that those points, they're very nice points, but they're not going to balance out the 80% interest he's paying on the credit card. Yeah. Yeah, not nearly as much, yeah.
Let's say you have access to a credit line. Somebody wants to borrow money from you, and you say, listen, if you want, I have a $20,000 credit line. Here's the account number, and use it, and you pay back whatever it is. You know, and obviously there's an interest associated to that.
So, I think you can because it's not you're not lending him the you're giving access to borrow from the credit card company that you have that, but it's not your money that he's borrowing.
Right, it's under your name. Obviously,
yeah,
but
it seems to me it seems to me that would be permitted, but I don't imagine, but I don't know for sure. This is a yeah yeah okay. Question? Okay. Fine. So let's go. Now, in terms of David's question about a house, so now I, you lend me money, the bank lends me money for a mortgage for my house. Now, my house is not a business deal. Or a car even. It's a car. Car is probably more
financing
a car. So if it's a company, it's a bank, it's a Jewish bank, so are they able to finance a car or any other financing any other thing I'm buying? So when it comes to real estate, he brings a discussion here in Rabbi Reisman that you can't. It's the problem of using a Hetzer Iskra. Unless it's a place where I think the five towns would qualify, where the real estate prices fluctuate greatly, so then a Hetzer Iskra may be used because buying real estate in the five towns right now would be considered an investment. It's going to, in 6 months from now, you're going to gain $60,000, $100,000, however quick it grows. So they explain here that where the Shulchan Aruch HaRav thought it would be usser, it'd be usher to take out a mortgage from a Jewish bank. The Hetzer Iskra won't work because it wasn't an investment. Because where he lived, it wasn't an investment. The houses didn't fluctuate. It was very, very stagnant. But in a place like where we live, and many places nowadays throughout the world, buying real estate would be considered an investment, whereby the bank would be having a partnership in that business deal, in that investment of the house, and a Hetzer Iskra would work. Now, for a car... A car is not an investment, it's a depreciation. You lose money for that. So I didn't see this discussed here. I would imagine that would be a problem, and I don't think a Hetzer Iskra would work. Again, I don't know any of these halachas that well, but just from what we're talking about, it seems to be it would be an issue. Yeah?
Even if you don't intend to move, let's say, not moving.
Right.
So it's moving.
No, but if someone came and knocked on the door and gave you a stupid number.
Right. Right.
I know you're not going
over,
I'm just saying.
No, it's a good point, because part of the Het Iskah, which I didn't discuss, when you talk about the prophets, it has to be a realistic prophet. Right. So if you know for sure that you're definitely not moving, you're, no matter how much a guy offers you,
right, nowhere to go.
So that's a good question. I don't know. It would be a good question that it wouldn't really be realistic, and maybe the Het Iskah wouldn't work. But you never know. You never know what's...
The partnership there, if your property appreciates, you the owner, the homeowner, gets the profits. The bank doesn't get anything. They
right.
just want their principal back.
Right, they want their principal back.
So what's the issue
there? Let's see, I guess the point is, normally they want the profits. Normally a partnership is where they want the profits when they invest. So if whenever the investing partner is taking less, that's always fine. As long as
right.
he's not taking more.
Right.
So in this case, since the bank isn't taking any of the profits, so then it seems to be it would be okay. The
right.
issue would be just paying the interest.
Right.
That would be the challenge.
I mean, the company I used was a Jewish bank, but so we didn't have to risk. But then they immediately sold the loan to Chase.
Right.
And I think that happens.
They're rid of them.
Yeah.
They just syndicated out, right? They just sell the whole thing.
Right.
Right.
Quicken Loans, yeah.
Quicken Loans.
We mentioned last week that 77% owned by Jews.
Meridian does that.
Yeah.
Meridian does that. They hold it for 6 months, and then they transfer it.
Right. So that's fine. So since the initial loan was with a Jewish-owned bank, so you have to do the Het Iskah. Once it's moved on to another, then it's fine. Now the question is, let's say the other bank is a Jewish-owned bank as well. Seemingly, you would need a Het Iskah. I don't know. I don't know how to do the. I'm not sure. We spoke last week that right, Reisman is very stark that you have to do the proper research. Who owns that bank that you're being involved in?
You have no control.
Yeah. What?
If it's packaged and sold.
Right. So now that you're dealing with Chase, let's say I doubt Chase is owned by a Jew, but I really don't know.
It might change.
But,
you talked before about stock market. Let's say it's stock is bought and sold.
Yeah.
It could be really owned by Jews today, and then by Monday
right.
it could change.
So right. So it depends also who's yeah no it depends who's controlling it, who owns it, who controls it, who makes the decisions.
And isn't the word that we use interesting? We call it interest, meaning that you have an interest.
Sure, interesting word.
Whoever came up with the English word for that, from a halakhic standpoint,
right.
it means you need to have, in order for it to be legal to do it, you have to have an interest in the.
Could be okay. But either way, so to your point about the Jewish-owned bank, you have to know who owns the bank.
Right.
I don't know how to know this. I don't know how to figure this out. But that is, it's a challenge.
If they sell off, I mean, you have no control.
You don't control who that is.
Right.
But you might have to get a Het Iskah. It could be. You might have to employ the concept of onus rechmana patre. Since you have no choice in the matter, it's an onus. You don't know who they're going to sell it to. I would imagine it's unlikely that any of these big banks are owned row by a Jew. But I would guess.
They package the smaller banks.
Oh, yeah, do they? Yeah. Oh, so a few times I've done it, I always got a big bank. But... if it's a small bank, that could be owned by a Jew.
Yeah.
If you get stuck with that, I'm not sure what to do in that case. I don't know. If it's a Shiloh, we'll look into it further. We'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, next week we'll do some topic on Purim. I don't know what yet, but we'll get excited for Purim. All right. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you.